Sci-fi. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio Produced podcast. One cynic, one believer, and one guest. If you have a five-star review, leave it on iTunes, and we'll read it on the air. Also, go to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. You get two bonus episodes a week of middling quality.
Yeah. You might get to know it better.
And if you are a subscriber, thanks so much for subscribing, especially during these trying times. Willie, how are you?
I'm doing swell. How are you doing?
This week has sucked, but
yeah,
this is just for career reasons. All right, let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend. I can't remember how many times, just one time before this guest, Sam Barini.
Hey.
Is this your second time? Man?
Well, the first time I kind of sat in when you had Marissa on, and I was just kind of hanging out and like chimed in a little bit, you know.
Okay.
Mostly I was observing the process.
So is this the second time? Or is this the third time?
Second. That was the only time when I was kind of sitting in.
Oh, weird. Okay. Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So we like to do for our listeners something called the WOW scale. It is a scale. It stands for Wade or Willie. It goes from 0 to 5. If you're a 0, your beliefs are more in line with mine. If you're a 5, your beliefs are more in line with Willie's. Are you ready to take the WOW scale?
I am ready.
WOW scale.
First question is a three-part question. I'll answer all three, and then you can answer them respectively. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Okay, I'm going now, right? Or do I wait for all three?
Yep. No, that's all three.
I think I'm going to say, you know, I've thought about this before from listening to the podcast, and I'm like, oh, man, where do I stand? How do I feel about this? And I think right now I'm a yes to all.
Oh, interesting. So can you describe the aliens that you think have visited Earth?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, man. Now, I have gone back and forth on this as well. I'm like...
We got a frozen guest.
Wouldn't it be the scariest thing if it came back on and there was an alien sitting there?
Would it be scary or would you love it? Because would that alien be just his buddy?
I think I'd be scared. Be like, wait, was he one?
Oh, you would think that Sam was an alien? But see, here, this is what I don't understand about you. You want to believe in aliens, but you're also afraid of them?
I'm afraid of nefarious aliens. I don't believe they exist. So finding proof of them doing something bad makes me go, oh, fuck.
Okay, Sam is back. His mic is off, though. Turn your mic back on. Bottom left. There you go.
Oh, wait, did you guys hear something? Shit.
You could have said it was your phone buzzing.
No, I just got a text. What does it mean?
You cut off right before you were about to describe these aliens that have visited Earth.
Yeah. That's weird. I heard you guys talking for a little bit, and I was going to quick try to change into an alien for you. I feel like it just sounds silly saying anything like, oh, well, this is the alien, but I think there's a possibility that they are like the green creature. What are they, like the little whites or what are those?
The little grays.
Little grays.
The little grays and the big greens and all that.
Reptilians,
Yeah, but I think they can like assume any shape or form, any disguise.
Okay, so a new alien who is just a shapeshifter.
Well, let me ask you this. This is a lame follow-up, but like, do you think that they can assume different physical shapes or that they're projecting different shapes to us? Like a brainwave morph or an actual physical morph?
I think physical, like they can change into, yeah, word. Like appearance, yeah, clothing, everything.
Cool.
All right, do me a favor. Turn your mic up a little notch, just a little bit, when I ask this next question. Okay. Do you believe in ghosts?
Ghosts, yeah. Again, like ghosts, like now, let's see, I'm trying to like answer this. Like, right, I don't know. Do you guys consider ghosts and like spirits and all that all in the same kind of thing? Or
it's kind of like you can feel free to sort of elaborate on what you think.
Okay.
I believe the traditional ghosts definition is just dead people.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Like dead people. Yeah. Like I definitely believe in like spirits among us kind of thing. Not even necessarily being like a figure or something somebody physically sees. Well, maybe not everybody sees, but maybe people, psychics, thing like, you know, people with powers can see, but maybe not all of us. That's my way of explaining why I've never seen a ghost. I don't have the power.
Somebody said this. I wish I could cite this, but I don't remember who it was. It was probably on Twitter or something like that. And so I'm just going to steal it from him because it's such a good thought. Like, it hit it on the head. It was like, if I ever saw a ghost, he said, I don't believe in ghosts because people say that they believe in ghosts. If I ever saw a ghost, the rest of my life would be dedicated to trying to understand what I just saw. You know what I mean? Like, so many people say they've seen ghosts and then they just go along with their lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I saw a ghost, it would freak me out to the point where I would be like, my world changed. And now this has to be the dedication of it.
Yeah. Like, would you want to change your career to be like help people through ghosts?
Yeah, I mean, I would become a scientist or something. I would do Ghostbusters. I would like be like, what the fuck? I would go back to college and get a degree in some sort of weird, like, I don't even know what the field of study would be, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could not. Like, I don't know how you could go along just believing that there are ghosts and not question that at all.
Like, yeah, I wonder, like, you think if people, like, a psychic was, being a psychic was more accepted, there would be, like, more, and, like, maybe it's a whole, like,
profession. Listen, the thing to me about that is you'd almost have to make it so they couldn't make money off of it. That would eliminate half of the 90% of the bullshit, which, yeah, you know, you can't do. But I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. They make too much money off people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is sort of, it leads us into the next question, because now I can kind of understand why people get so obsessed about it. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Now, the other two, I feel like pretty strongly about, like, I believe, and Bigfoot is a big no.
Okay. What about psychics? You just referenced them. Do you believe that some people are psychic?
I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's take it a step further. Do you believe that anybody can do telekinesis?
Again, that makes me think of what you just said about if I had the power of telekinesis, that's all I'd do, like, kind of thing. That'd be what I'd focus on. And you don't see a lot of that out there. You don't.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not even people.
I mean, picture the person showing off. Even the best fighters in the world are still cocky.
Mm-hmm.
Pieces of shit, some of them. Yeah. Like, they, yeah.
What about superstitions? Are you a superstitious guy?
Yeah. You know what? This is another one I thought about a long time, too, because of hearing you guys talk about it on the podcast. And, like, what is superstition? Is it, you know, coincidences or more sports related? I think you guys talked about the one time, you know, doing your rituals, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I'm still kind of like undecided on the whole thing of like superstition. I definitely do certain things. I have certain rituals at home that I do, and I think I have to do it or something bad is going to happen. But then I forgot to do these things sometimes, you know, and nothing happens.
Can you give an example of one of them?
Leave the house. You're kind of like ritual when you leave the house, the door lock thing, you know, checking the door, checking certain things, you know, has to be, you know, and this is something I know my family does too. So I don't know, is superstition or did I pick up a trait, you know, growing up or something?
That just seems like practical, you know?
Well, it goes overboard, you know, to where I'm getting yelled at and like, you know, hurry up, we're going to be late. And I'm like, I got to do this, you know, I have to do this. And, you know, but I don't think if I didn't do these things.
You want to make it there alive, don't you?
Yeah. You understand if I don't do all this, the stove is going to turn itself on. The door is going to unlock and like, yeah, the house is going to fall apart. But, you know, and that's just one like little ritual thing. But in terms of superstition, man, I don't know. Practiced a lot of superstitions and it hasn't proved itself, you know, totally to be true.
All right, then I'm gonna put you at, it's 8 o'clock, so I don't know if people can hear. People are screaming and stuff, they're doing the howling thing for first responders, but I think you're like a 2.5 or a 3. I think you're right in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the Bigfoot one too is one I always go back to. That right now I'm a no, but I don't know where I'll be on that one. Once I see the next research or something or some video.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like that goes along with like the ghost thing. If I saw a Bigfoot, I would become one of those crazy Bigfoot people who like only exists to discover Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's weird is how many people have done that. So
yeah, if you watch Harry and the Hendersons, like the main bad guy, like he's a piece of shit, but he's like a believer.
Yeah, it's like it's things like hearing stuff like that that I'm like, well, who's to say it's not true? Why can't I believe this guy?
Gosh, I know, dude. Like, but I mean, I definitely believe in Bigfoot. I just feel like 99.9% of anybody else who does is wrong. I'm like, you think it's this weird fucking stupid ass footprint? Get out of here.
Yeah, because
I can almost guarantee that I would be the bad guy in Ghostbusters who like turns the machine off and unleashes a bunch of ghosts on New York.
That poor guy. He got, you know, he got out of acting because everybody, he's an asshole in Die Hard and in that movie. And so people treat him like an asshole in real life. And then he got slapped in the face on a plane or something.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah. So he doesn't act anymore.
Oh, shut up. That sucks.
Really depressing because he's so good.
Also, playing those characters is like one of the most fun things to play, of just like being a total shithead.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Willie, what are we going to be talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Polybius, the arcade game sent out by the Men in Black. It's this game, Fact or Fiction. The story's been out there for a while. Is there any truth to it? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay, so let's do the real life.
Real life.
And I'm just going to go by the Wikipedia. Polybius, it's an urban legend. I mean, you know, we'll get into that, but it's defined as an urban legend. Emerged early 2000 about a video game that exists. I think they said it came out in 1981.
Yeah.
And basically, it only took place in Portland, Oregon. It was so popular that people would line up around the block to play it. But then people would like have seizures. People would have nightmares and stuff after playing it. there's also reports that Men in Black would come and like download information, like whatever data, they would come and download the data off of the machine and then go away. And then supposedly it disappeared because of all of these like side effects that people were having. There's one screenshot that exists, and it's the copyright of the people who made the game, and this is a German word that I can't pronounce, but it's something like Senesolution. And that stands for shit. What does it stand for? Do you have it?
I have it somewhere in here. Hold on.
Fuck. It's like mental wipe or something like that. Oh, sense delete or sensory deprivation is what it means when you translate it to English. You know, that's really all the real life we need, right? Like, I mean, I could go on to say that this is my biased belief of what happened, but sometime previous to September 2003, this guy Kurt Kohler, who owned the website coinop.org, submitted a tip-off to the video game magazine GamePro talking about Polybius and basically telling them all of this, like this urban legend stuff. And I won't like say why, but that's kind of where it came from. This guy submitting it to GamePro, then it became this urban legend, you know. That's about it.
It's weird because in the gaming world, there's records of a lot of things. The game magazines talked about all the games. Media's been around enough to be able to find things that existed, right?
It's a weird counterculture. You know, like most people have seen, what is it, King of Kong, which is just a documentary about the guy who like did the speed run on Donkey Kong. And so like all of these records have existed for a long time with these like cabinet arcade machines.
Yeah, and my response to that is, if this were a secret government thing, it'd be pretty easy to keep it out of the spotlight because there really was only one video game magazine back then. They definitely could have tipped them off. I think that there definitely would be a whistleblower of some sort, but that person could have been lost in the wind also. But I'm just saying that like it's weird that they have records of everything via, you know, their magazines and newspapers and whatnot, but it'd also be pretty easy to keep it out. And I'm pretty good at repeating myself because I just did.
Is there like a sci-fi version of this that I didn't cover?
Well, so sure, people were getting sick or whatever, but the sci-fi version is that, I'll just do the quickest history of MK Ultra. The MK Ultra existed from 1953 to 1973 on record. This was the CIA doing tests on Americans without them knowing. Ultimately, a lot of it was LSD tests, and they also did a lot of studies using universities without the universities knowing or the subjects knowing that all of these tests were being conducted for the CIA. And the whole thing was to try to find out if there were ways to get people to talk, if you could make a Manchurian candidate, if you could make people do things they didn't want to do. But ultimately, here's the CIA using black project money to do tests on Americans without them knowing. And then so this in 1975, this was brought to the public's attention. And the operator of this MK Ultra said, get rid of all the documents. So there was a huge document sweep. And then, you know, in 1977, the Freedom of Information Act led to some Senate hearings. So just saying that, like, supposedly this thing ended in 73 and it didn't, nothing was brought to the Senate until 1977. And there were people back then that said, yes, this is still going strong. And so the sci-fi version is, video games are popular. Is there a way to, using imagery, is there a way to make people, kind of control people in that way? So the sci-fi version is they're doing experiments using video games on these kids.
I should also mention that the name Polybius is derived from a Greek historian who, basically he was like, don't believe everything you read. He thought historians should not report what they couldn't verify through interviews and witnesses. And so it's funny that this is an urban legend that cannot be verified in any of those ways. Also, I want to spell it just in case you're looking this up and trying to follow along, because I hadn't heard of this at all. It's Polybius. Sam, did you know about this before?
Yeah, you know, but not very long. And it was only a couple weeks ago. And it's funny, my brother told me about it because he was playing like one of those kind of like escape room games, like a puzzle style game where you go through all different rooms. You have, instead of escaping, you hop in this car. It looks like the Back to the Future DeLorean and you take off. That's the end goal. But so it's this game. There's all different rooms and there's the garage, blah, blah, blah. Then there's the arcade, and the arcade game is Polybius. And that's like, you think it's one of your missions in the game to get clues. And so you play this arcade game and it's, I guess it's just a mock-up of maybe what they thought Polybius would be. you could just keep playing it, but there's you get no clue for the game. It's just basically, we were talking about a little bit, my brother and I.
They just put it in there?
They just put it in there. And it was just like a way to maybe get people to look at.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Yeah, so that's like a kind of Easter egg-y kind of, because that's happened. Like, so somebody tried to recreate the games just based on like what everyone had said about it. There's, if you go to, I'll spell it out because it's the German word. SINNESLOSCHEN.com. It's a whole website, and they've recreated the game, and you can download it and play it. It's also pretty old, so I don't know when it's from.
Yeah, and I feel like they used also Tempest and go on.
Well, no, so I was just gonna say, like, also there's like the Simpsons had it in, like there's a Simpsons where Bart is going to the arcade and he just walks by a Polybius machine.
So what do you, what else do you know about it, Sam? Like, just curious.
So just like my brother Don tells me about the game. I download this game. I play the game. Then I get into Polybius. So I started listening to, you know, watching the videos, reading the articles, piecing together, trying to do the timeline thing, you know, and then like trying to separate what seems more factual and not. It's very challenging because it's, the research is hard and it's all somewhat speculation. There's a few people, writers, they say it like originated in the Portland area. Gaming was big, and they dropped a certain amount of machines at the arcades around Portland. I think Wade mentioned, you know, the men in black would show up and collect data. And this one writer, you know, she's known for debunking it. I haven't been able to find her full article. But you know, then there's the battle between the believers, you know, and then this journalist. Yeah.
Where do you fall in line? Right. Where do you,
it's so weird. Okay. Cause I was going, I went pretty deep into this and well, I wish I could have went more. I was on the verge of falling in with the majority, which is it's the whole thing's a myth. It never existed. But then, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, it's 1981. All these, you know what, I don't know, teenagers, younger, playing this game. and they say it was black cabinet, no marking, you know, no
artwork or
didn't say art. Yeah, no, didn't say Polybius, no artwork, all this stuff. But so I'm thinking, like, where did it come from? Who called it Polybius? If it was never like named Polybius, where did that come from? And I'm like, you know, our kids, you know, at that age, are they going to create this myth, call it Polybius, you know, the definition Wade described of, you know, proving something through like fact or whatever, you know, it seems like a more sophisticated.
Well, wait, I'm just jumping in on you real quick. Even though it was a black cabinet, there was still a name on the game.
Oh, true. What, the startup screen?
Yeah. That's where sinister, because that screen grab of the possible game has the company on it, but the name of the game's on it too. Just say, sorry.
Gotcha. That's where it says Sinister Losing too. Okay. Cool. So
my whole thing is not to like sort of nip this conversation in the bud, but like the theory I agree with is that this guy who ran the website CoinOp or whatever was just trying to drive people to his website. And so he just kind of made this up and it kind of took off, you know, because he was the only one that had a record of it. And so it's very easy for him to just kind of put it in there.
Yeah. The crazy thing about this is this, if he came up with it, he is a borderline genius, because a lot of these things were happening then. So he picked pieces together. I know early website traffic was really hard to get, but basically coming up with the first creepypasta before that existed, you know, like I'll just make some shit up. There 100% were men in black going to arcades at that time. Men in black is just a guy in a black suit. They say that a lot of the arcades were like running illegal gambling.
Yeah.
Things back then, and it's like, well, yeah, I believe that. So, you know, they would show up, write down the top score getters because they thought that was some kind of a clue as to how the gambling worked or something. So men in black would show up, open the machines, take information down, but not the money. That's 100%. There in Portland, there were a couple kids that got sick, you know. I'm sure you guys read about it if you looked in it. But there was one kid who was playing Asteroids. He played it for like 28 hours.
Yeah.
They were like massaging his hands.
Yeah.
Well, he had like a Coke and then like played a game for 28 hours. So he like basically passed out from stomach pains. That was in the newspaper. So it's interesting to take stories and put them all together to try to get traffic to you, because listen, genius, I'll take it back, because yeah, that didn't happen till 2000. In 2000, people were definitely trying to come up with shit to, I don't know, but
yeah. So I'm trying to like, so I, a lot of these things that happen after 2000, I just don't believe, because I lived half of my life that was like the midpoint of my life. And so I just don't believe anything that is manufactured out of like the internet. Yeah. But I'm trying to remember what the internet was like in 2000. I think it was pretty good. Like, I don't think we didn't have video yet, but it wasn't like even 3 years earlier where like waiting for a photo to load would take minutes. You know what I mean? Like
my reference though, in 2000, between 2001 and 2003, I was scouring the internet to find a song, right? And I couldn't find it. And I'm telling you, I feel like I was pretty smart about looking for this song. It was this song, Goodbye Horses by Q Lazarus. It's a song that is played during Silence of the Lambs when he tucks his wiener in between his legs and he's dancing.
Uh-huh.
Great fucking song. So here I am scouring the internet, LimeWire, all the things to try to find this song. I could not find the song. Turns out the song only existed on one soundtrack ever, and I didn't find this out till like 2005, maybe 2003. But it was on the Married to the Mob soundtrack, which went out of print like the first year, like nobody bought it. So, and that song, the person who sang the song was a cab driver from New York, and she only performed that one song, Q Lazarus, Q Lazarus. She performed that song, Goodbye Horses, for the Married to the Mob soundtrack. And then the only other song she did was she guest starred on Philadelphia, and she played a cross dresser, and she was singing, I forget what she sang, but she sang a song in the movie Philadelphia. And so I'm like, because that song existed in, or that person existed in two movies, in 2001, I still couldn't find who sang the song. So that
right.
Just saying, like, the internet was still pretty lame. We had to do MapQuest and whatnot. But there was another, I just want to list off a couple of the games that people might think that they were kind of referencing, right? There was the Publius Enigma, which had a very close name. There was Bubbles. Robotron 2084 had the same font as Polybius. And Cube Quest 83, that was a Laserdisc game that, you know, had really good graphics. Like, what's that shooting game? There's a couple weird old games that, like, they look like there's like 3D people walking around on. Anyways, that game was like Doom? Popular. No, it was an arcade game, but it was like there were video images of people acting out scenes.
Oh wait, are we in 80? What time period are we in?
81. This game was called Cube Quest 83. But okay. So that one, it was a laser disc, so the graphics looked really good, but the technology wasn't good enough, and so that game was put into a lot of arcades, and it quickly left all the arcades. So just saying, there's a lot of parallels and stories here. So, but now here's another thing too. As of now, if you look up Polybius right now, there's a podcast series called The Polybius Conspiracy, and they basically create a fake character that survived that story. And so they basically make a fake story. They blur the lines between reality and fiction to make a podcast series. So just saying that's out there too. That's not, if you're looking for facts, that's not the place to go, but they, at any rate, so
this is the only place to go for facts.
That's right. That's right, baby. So I'm just saying that, like, my parallel to all this is, you know, like, Sam, do you know what MK Ultra is? Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, I've actually heard it, like, looking at the Polybius stuff. I heard mention of MK Ultra.
So my parallel is this is actually the CIA doing tests on Americans. And, like, even today, people don't even know what it is, A, and B, people don't believe it because, like, how could they have done this? And after they trashed all their records back in, you know, 1973, like, it's still hard to find information about that.
Well, it's just weird because, like, because I'd not heard of this until you told me about it. And so the first thing I thought was, like, oh, it's like a real life, I want to say Flight of the Navigator. What's the 80s movie where he
Last Starfighter?
Last Starfighter. Where it's like, well, and now if you're more recent, it would be Ready Player One, right? Where it's like,
yeah,
the and video older, game is a is a testing game to, like, and that's the only kind of thing that I would think would be like a practical thing to study with a video game, right? Because like, unless you're thinking that, like, some sort of ocular, you could, like, manipulate people just through, like, signals, like epilepsy kind of stuff or something. You know what I mean? Like,
I definitely feel like that was on the table for MK Ultra, but go on.
Well, yeah. I mean, so if that's on the table, then I guess I could get on board with that theory of like, oh, maybe we can manipulate people just through like images.
And if it was just one, let's say it was just one arcade. I know that there's multiple arcades in Portland, but let's say that the CIA was, I mean, I 100% could buy that the CIA would put an arcade together just to, not even to run tests on the kids, just to be like, who the fuck are these kids? Like, you know, I'll run an arcade and they wouldn't have Men in Black showing up to fix the machines. But I definitely think it's plausible that they would do something like that because basically ever since the Cold War started and maybe even after World War II, it was like our secret entities started looking at us because they were afraid. I don't know that we could take them over or that we were some kind of enemy or maybe even to learn how to deal with the enemy by doing secret tests on us. So I buy that they could have some arcade. I know that this specific story falls too much in line. It parallels too many things that really happened, but I buy that this could have happened. And so I look at this and it makes me question, has there been a game put out there that was like Last Starfighter, a recruiting thing for FBI and or CIA? Some ciphers, some puzzle busts, some, you know, like if you were so good at Call of Duty, they could, you know, make you run because the guys that run the drones are basically playing a video game and they have to hit targets. And has there ever existed a game that was some kind of recruiting thing? Whether it's Polybius or not, forget about Polybius. Do you guys think that there has been one in the past?
Wasn't there, I don't know how much fact, but the battle, what is it? Battle?
Let's see. Battletoads?
Yes. Or war. I forget what it was. You'll find it.
Battlefront?
I think, was it Battlefront where they said it was like an actual recruiting game or maybe it wasn't supposed to be for public?
Well, because, I mean, they 100% use video games to train military. They may not be playing Call of Duty, but they have video games that put them in, you know, it's a simulator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like any kind of flight simulator or whatever, that's what you train in, right? I mean, like, I can guarantee those drone guys are training in, like, a flight simulator before they are actually controlling drones.
So
I don't know. I mean, I think that maybe... I don't know. I want to do a joke about Super Mario and... that meaning people are more apt to do drugs or something, but I feel like people have already done that joke. Like the dumbest,
video game. Mushrooms. You go underground to do some mushrooms.
I don't believe that. I mean, no, I would say no to your question of has a video game ever been used as a recruitment tool just because it's like, If you really wanted to get like deep state sort of like conspiracy theory, you could say, and I don't believe in this, but that like the like Call of Duty, all these war games are just to desensitize people to like murder.
Yeah. I mean, like I 100% believe that the alien, you know, that there are alien movies out there just to make us feel comfortable with aliens eventually being a bad guy. I feel like that was influenced by secret.
Well, wouldn't they put out propaganda? If these aliens are making movies, wouldn't they put out propaganda movies where like they're not bad guys?
Not aliens, but the propaganda comes from the secret government wanting us to not know that they're peaceful entities. So like close encounter.
Right.
Yeah. So, but so my thing is I started looking up what exists out there today for in that realm, you know. I never knew this. The CIA and the FBI, if you go to, I didn't write down the website. I took a screen grab. I'll find it. But, like, there's a thing called Spy Kids where it's like, hey, can you be a, can you think you can work for the CIA? And then they have these, like, puzzles for kids to do for fun. on both the FBI and the CIA website. That's definitely not advertising. What do you call it when you're trying to branding for kids at a young age? Name branding, you know, like, oh, I took the CIA test. I took the FBI test. You know, like, they're good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like, I get that sort of brainwash that, like, you know, bacon and eggs.
I'm kind of into that. Like, I want to go take one of those tests and see if I could do that, because I want to know, like, what it takes to actually be a code breaker and stuff. Like, how smart do you have to be a code breaker?
Yeah. And so the thing is that obviously the tests that they have on their sites are pretty easy. And then they have more difficult ones that you can get into. There's actually the Kryptos sculpture outside of the CIA at Langley, Virginia. There's a sculpture outside that is a code breaking thing that nobody's ever broken. It was made by Jim Sanborn. If you go look at it, there's, and you can even look it up and figure out, because people say that they've broken the first two stages, but they haven't gone to the fourth. So, but there's a statue out in front of the building that's like a code breaker calling card, right?
I love that. I think that's fucking fun as shit. That's like national treasure in real life, right?
Yeah, dude, right? I was going to start looking at it, and I'm like, but there definitely is in that realm, there's a history of code breaking, and it's almost like you have to learn simple code breaking so that you know the system and or process that they use, because whoever wrote that one was a code breaker. So I was even looking up there was this one random kid who died out in the middle of Iowa or something like that. And he had a couple codes in his pocket, and I don't think he graduated high school. And they're like, how does this kid have these codes in his pocket that nobody can break? And the story is that if you're not quote unquote educated, you make harder to break codes because you're not using their base to.
Well, it's exactly like playing poker with someone who doesn't play poker. Like, you can't beat someone who doesn't play poker because they're not playing by the rules that you're used to.
Yeah.
They're kind of all over the place. And so you don't know when they're bluffing and when they actually have a hand.
Yeah.
So if you just invent your own code that has no like basis in any other code, then like, yeah, I mean, that's just a bunch of random symbols or numbers or whatever.
Yeah. I think like there are, you know, there's so many ciphers out there, like where there's the formula, here's the grid, here's the pattern. And then to make it unbreakable, you scramble it up or you use something unique to who you're, you know, translating with communicating with. So like, say there's a cipher, and the cipher involves taking a book, and you go in the book, you use numbers to describe in the book where you want the other to look. So your numbers will be like, you know, 23, 6, 12, you know, 4. And that means go to like the 20, I forget what numbers I said, but you go to that page.
Yeah.
26, you go to that page, then you go to the paragraph, then you go to the word in the paragraph. And you can go as far down as to the letter in the word.
Yeah.
And then you take that letter. But only the other person who knows what book we're using could ever crack that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's like,
totally.
These code breakers are crazy because get in the mind of the people, maybe for some of them, and like understand their thinking in a way to break the code. Because there's really no way to break a code that's, you know, that you're using.
Like, I keep thinking about, like, Sudoku, and, like, unless you know the rules of Sudoku, you would just be looking at a square with some numbers in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, like, not even that hard. Like, you could eventually crack that, but you're right. You need the cipher. So, like, if nobody knows this kid's cipher, like, how would they ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even with, you know, there's the Polybius square. The Polybius square is, you know, that goes back, you know, to when I think he created this cipher where it's.
Uh-oh.
For your
guest cut out again. Let me see if I can look up Polybius
square. Oh, there you go. You cut out.
Oh, good?
Yep.
Yeah.
So the numbers, you take the numbers like 1 through 5 horizontally and then vertically, it makes a box, you know, and you make a grid and then you enter the alphabet. You can go A through Z. So say the number 35, you go third row down, you know, column, you know, 5, and there's the letter.
Right.
So, but then what you do with whoever you're translating with, or sorry, I keep saying that, communicating with, you scramble up the alphabet in a way that only you two know. So you could put, just enter alphabet characters randomly, and then you just share that, you know.
Yeah. And I definitely, if I came up with some, I'd definitely, you know, take that into other extra dimensions and be like, oh, there's that one plate of 5 times 5. I've got a cube. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But should we take a break?
Yeah, now's a good time to take a break. And then where are we going to go when we come back?
Well, we could get into I want to get into this declassified document from MKUltra that came out in 2018 that I think blows the lid off of some shit about mind control.
All right, great cliffhanger. We'll be back with Sam Barini talking about Polybius, the 100% non-factual urban legend that doesn't exist.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills and the kills and the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife, it has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi. We are here talking about Polybius, the urban legend video game, with our good friend Sam Barini. Sam, you looked up, you had referenced the battle game in the first half and you found it.
This is saying it was 1980. So right before the Polybius legend starts. I've seen the original Battle Zone. You guys probably seen it, the arcade, and then they made, Atari, and then they made it into an arcade game or vice versa. It just says the army reached out to the developers of Battle Zone to create their own military trainer, the Bradley Trainer. Only 2 produced, 1 delivered to the army and is presumably lost, and the other is in a private collection.
I just, the funniest thing about that story is they called it the Bradley Simulator?
The Bradley Trainer.
I know, man. I'm like, was Bradley the perfect soldier?
Yeah.
Like, oh, why? We need more Bradleys.
Yeah, man. Kids are going to love this Bradley Simulator. They're going to eat this up. Like, I guess the one thing that they should have done more marketing.
Yeah, the Bradley Trainer. I want to be Bradley.
Well... It seems like what they're saying is the Bradley Trainer only existed within the military.
That was the military's name of their game.
Yeah. So they're
what are we gonna call
it? Soldier.
Bradley, what do you think we should call it?
Oh,
Bradley Trainer.
I mean, I'm pretty good.
hey, soldier, get in there and give me 50 the Bradley trainers.
So here, listen to this. This is funny. The two produced army delivered to the army, presumed lost, the other in the private collection of this Scott Evans, who found it by a dumpster in the rear parking lot at Midway Games.
Oh, shit.
I'm looking at a picture of the Bradley trainer, and that must be a tank, right? They're talking about a tank, the Bradley tank.
Yeah, because in the game, Battle Zone.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Left and right.
Because it's got little handheld, like a steering wheel, basically, and then like a bunch of.
Oh yeah, I've played a game like this. Yeah, that's a three-dimensional tanks. They're like just the lines or outline drawings of them.
Yeah. That's the game.
Yeah,
that's the one they based it on.
From what I remember in Battlezone, playing it on Atari, you just scroll left and right and try to shoot other tanks before they shoot. So like you just got.
And honestly, that's kind of all there is to.
Tanks
driving a tank, right? Like scroll left and right, try to shoot the things that are in front of you.
Yeah.
I like the idea though, because like when you shoot a bullet in any video game, like you have to learn how fast it's going so that you can aim better, because it takes a few seconds. Boop, 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 boop. So in 2018 there was this declassified document from MKUltra. And so the weird thing about this document is I still feel like people would probably argue that it's fake, right? No, it's fake. It's not real.
Well, listen, I'll always argue that, because I'm not saying that is the case with this one, but like a lot of the sites that you're getting this declassified stuff from is like really like picking and choosing and omitting, and like, you know, we just did the episode where like, I can't remember what episode it was, but it was like guidelines for if we ever meet aliens. And it was just some fucking desk guy going like, oh, we should do this and this and this. And then the websites took it as like, oh, so aliens exist and this is our protocol for it.
Yeah. Yeah. this was a letter to an unnamed doctor. And it basically said that So this file was had to have been from between 1953 and 73, because it was a declassified MK Ultra file. And after, you know, I believe it still exists today, but after that they stopped keeping records. You know, they used to record everything, and then they're like, oh fuck, we shouldn't record stuff if we're going to be doing things illegally. So I'm just saying that this letter came from that time, and this letter was to a doctor that said that we have gotten 6 dogs to be able to run, turn, and stop using a remote control, and the dogs had brain implants. So from a brain implant on a dog, they could remote control one, 6 of them. Six successful.
No, that's entirely believable, because we talked about the monkeys that they used to do this to, right? Yeah. Like where they could like remote control monkey to like pick up a fucking banana or whatever.
Yeah.
Not to be racist against monkeys. And
so, but because this was a declassified file from this particular program, it was declassified from somewhere between 53 and 73. And so it's crazy to me that, yes, they could remote control a dog back then. Here in the 80s, could you – the next technology would be trying to control someone by sending them signals, you know? Can you put information in light? Can you make somebody have a seizure and then, like, make them lose their mind a little bit so that then there's very suggestible after that? Like, light and seizure tests are all in there at this time.
Yeah.
So just saying that, like, it doesn't bring any more credibility to it, but I'm like, oh, I believe this.
No, but you know what's funny about that is that, like, at that time, that's very believable. At this time, because robotics have gotten to a point where, like, you wouldn't even need to do that. You could just make a robot to do it, right?
Yeah.
Unless you were doing Manchurian Candidate stuff where, like, you needed the president to, like, do something. If you needed someone in a place of power to do something.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, most of these MK Ultra files were, like, they wanted to assassinate other world leaders. And so the whole thing was, I'm trying to figure out, how could we brainwash someone to go do it for us, and then it couldn't get traced back to us? So
it'd be great if they just got, like, crickets. Crickets can't kill anybody, but if you got enough crickets, maybe they could kill somebody.
Yeah, it's like their breath actually turns into a poison when you get.
That's fun. Yeah, if you put like some poison in a fly and then you just like flew the fly around and
we had him cough. They definitely, CIA definitely used to attach cameras onto pigeons to have them take pictures and video of. You know, I don't know how accurate they could be, but they were doing that, which is hilarious to me.
Crazy, yeah.
Well, what's the real story on the dolphin thing? Did we ever really program dolphins to like sniff out bombs like dogs, or what was it? Was that real or fake?
There are some stories upon stories, but. We 100% have dolphins that have weapons attached to them. I don't know if there's any sort of control of the dolphin, but there's a camera attached to it. So they can keep dolphins in a cage and then let them out. And you attach missiles to them or, you know, bombs.
I thought they were supposed to take... They were supposed to deactivate bombs or something. I think that's what I read.
Well, see, okay, when I hear that story, because I've read a lot of them and they're all kind of mixed together, they didn't, I don't think they had dolphins. Well, fuck. I don't think they, fuck, maybe. But I thought that they would just have bombs on them and they would detonate the bombs.
I guess. That's a little weird because, like, wouldn't you just send a smaller little submarine to do that? Like, why would you train a dolphin? You could just build like a little submarine. Why would you train a dolphin to do all that?
The training hours. I mean, like, listen, the person training the dolphins, there's two scenarios. One, that they're a paid employee and they're brainwashing these dolphins. They're trying to control them, which is hilarious. Like, yeah, I train dolphins, but I can also train them to, you know, deactivate bombs. Fucking nutso. The other nutso version is, they took a dolphin trainer and said, you have to train these dolphins, otherwise you're dead. You know, so it's either like this person is like doing it as a slave or they're getting paid okay. There's no middle ground. It's like the both situations are nuts.
Yeah, and then the end result is a bunch of dolphins are dead now. Yeah. Because we just put some fucking... C4 on a dolphin.
They have like, you know, built-in sonar or, you know, something already going on, like sensing.
Yeah.
What, the dolphins?
Yeah. Like the way they sense.
Their echolocation makes it easier to test them weird because you're using electronic signals instead of, you don't need to show them something whatever.
How much do you guys buy that dolphins are almost as smart as humans? Are you guys onto that or what do we think? I kind of want to believe it just because I like animals, I guess. And like, I want to believe that they're smart, but then they also like rape each other all the time.
Here's the thing. I always think about that dolphin story. Cause I'm like, you know, I feel like humans without a structured society, there's already a lot of rape. You know what I mean?
Human society?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a shit ton of rape.
Or dolphins.
There's a lot of rape, sure, yeah. You gotta fuck, man.
And every girl has a rape story, you know? And it's like, fuck, dude. So take
that's society. Something that blew my mind. So many girls have rape stories. It's insane.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. Like, I don't know. I mean, I can't believe how common it is. And it makes me go like, oh, shit, take society back a little bit and there'd be a lot more rape, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I picture how smart humans were even a long time ago, because we had the same size brain, which means they're capable of the same things, I think about smart people back then not having technology. Sure, you could build something. Sure, you'd know to go inside during a thunderstorm. But I feel like if dolphins were as smart as us, if you took away our technology, we'd be like dolphins. We'd hang in little packs. We'd be smart. We'd be having fun. And then if you added technology to dolphins, I believe that they could do some of the things that we've done.
If they only had hands, you know. It's funny to think about, like, you kind of touched on something like old-timey, not even that old, just like, I don't know, pre-industrial revolution people who are just as smart as we are, right? They're,
yeah, but they didn't have nails, like, yet.
Well, it parallels what we're talking about. Like, if you don't have the cipher, you don't know how to, like, most of our technology is just building on other technology. That's why it's like, it's scary to think of, like, the end of the world and living in the apocalypse and, like, not even being able to, like, build a flashlight or something. Because, like, I don't know any of that shit.
That is my biggest fear about what's going on right now, is if society split right now. Let's say that this goes for a whole year, and all of a sudden everybody's losing their apartments and everybody's losing everything, right? You would still stay in your place, and the society would eventually crumble to a point where it's like, yeah, everyone's just living in their house. They can't kick them out, and they can't collect money from them because there's no money. There'd be little gangs of people, like, robbing people. But then there would be this elite rich that's like, hey, man, we hired the police because they have weapons, and we're paying them to protect the compound. And so the compound would be the educated society, and the rest of us.
Oh, totally. I'm kind of wondering why no one's broken into my car, because it's been sitting out on the street for like a month now, but battery's dead.
There's been a lot of businesses out here that have been fucked with. Did you know the Vista got their windows broken? Somebody broke into there. At Mixto, somebody broke their windows and got into there. Like,
really?
Yeah. I don't use the Nextdoor app because I don't want to know all the bad shit going on, but Shauna uses it. And in 1 week, we had like three gunpoint robberies in our neighborhood before coronavirus. And I was like, fuck, dude. Yeah. There's people walking around machetes all the time. I'm like, you know, and I think it's just people on meth walking around. We've encountered so many, but.
Yeah. I was just going into 7-Eleven the other day, you know, fully masked, hat on, mask, you know. Oh, how convenient, I can wear gloves too. Isn't this the opportune moment for criminals to be robbing these places?
Oh, yeah, dude. I honestly think about that all the time.
You're going to see my face. I'm not going to leave prints.
Everyone's got mask on.
No one wants to tackle me and stop me. They don't want to touch me. 6 feet, no tackles. Like, I'm gone. I'm just walking away casually.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the question. That's my question. It's like, why isn't crime worse right now? And is it because that the criminals are afraid of getting the virus, or like, why aren't they being opportunistic about this?
I mean, my personal take is that there is a lot of crime happening. Nobody's reporting it because that's the biggest fear. These paid news organizations, I'm sure that they told them to never report crime during pandemics, because like I said, we had three gunpoint robberies in our neighborhood, and it, you know, where would we hear about that? It doesn't make the news. I'm like, oh,
fuck. Well, but you wouldn't have heard about that in any time. There's not like a Silver Lake Ledger fucking tell you like, oh, somebody got.
I agree with that, but I'm just saying that, like, there's a lot of crime happening. My other theory is, in the late 90s, early 2000s, the prison system became so corrupt that, like, they would gladly put anybody in jail because everybody's making money off of it. All the gang, like when we lived down south in Culver City, like, all those kids, they all got arrested and never came back because they all went to jail, and they're all kids. And I'm like, there was a movement to just put everybody into the system. And rightly so or wrongly so, I feel like all these kids got the worst sentences ever And so they killed the gang problem by just arresting everybody. And so there is less crime in general because all the criminals are in jail.
That sounds like the optimal result. But arrest all the criminals and then they go to jail.
But I'm saying
that, like, I understand yeah. what you're saying, but the way that you said it just sounds like they're just arresting criminals and then they go to jail. I would say that maybe like criminals are more afraid now because everyone has masks on, so you don't really know who you can fuck with or not, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't tell if somebody's smiling. That's the creepiest thing. I say hi to people and they're staring at me and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, come on, dude, say hi, because I can't see if you're smiling.
Yeah.
If you're an actor, you've worked on your smize, which is smiling eyes.
A lot of eyebrow.
Look at my
eyebrows.
My eyebrows aren't even
moving. You look evil as fuck right now. I don't know if it's because of your Asian half.
I'm drinking too fast, so my face is red and my eyes got a weird glow.
No, but you look nefarious. Like, even when I see the smile, you still look like you're up to something.
It pops up and the mustache is revealed.
My eye glow is like spot on for devil.
I don't know what you mean about eye glow. That's just a reflection of the light.
Oh yeah. I mean, it just makes my eye look evil. You guys don't have it.
No, it does that in the
dark. Well, I could if I point this light at myself.
Oh, beautiful eye glow, babe.
All right, let's get back to the I feel like I derailed you. I think you were saying something, and I now I forget what it was.
Oh, I mean, it's all good. I don't even remember. But I mean, I know that I was en route to just saying that, like, definitely, if it is possible to suggestively control somebody's mind, they figured it out, right? And if you can also put a brain implant, I know dog's brain is different than a human brain, but if you can put a brain implant into a human and control them, that's happening, right? Like, there are definitely people. Do you guys think that there are evil scientists that are working on this, even if it's just for the government because they're paying them, like brain control of humans?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'll believe that. Yeah.
And so I'm just like, you know, the tech.
But I would say a more effective way is just through like culture and like, I mean, like, I hate bad mouthing cops, but like, they live in a culture where it's like, oh, I won't rat on you, you won't rat on me. I feel like maybe they think they're doing the right thing. We don't live in the 70s anymore where they're getting kickbacks and stuff like that. But I do believe that, God, I sound like the fucking internet right now, but like the thin blue line of like, oh, I'll protect you, you protect me. Some cop kills like a black person. They plant drugs on them. Like, that stuff definitely still happens, right?
Yeah.
You don't even need mind control to do that. You only need this person, this one individual, to feel like the survival instinct of like fight or flight, like all that stuff. Like, it's just kind of like surviving is ingrained in us. And so, like, I understand what you're saying about scientifically, like, controlling someone, like, hey, let's fucking make Obama like walk over here to this India president or whatever they have and like punch him in the face. And it'll be funny and it'll start a war and we'll make a lot of money off of it. Like, but I think like, what?
Like the Prime Minister of Malaysia.
What was that? Did Obama punch?
Zoolander. Whole same concept.
Oh, shit, yeah. I guess I'm describing the plot of Zoolander. But I think that's a long walk. I think that's a long walk to get the same results that they're already getting, which is just like, we control the economy. We can do whatever the fuck we want because money speaks. I mean, it's what we're going through right now, which is the government going like, oh no, we should like reopen businesses because like the people who pay us aren't making enough money, and like, fuck you if you die.
Yeah. And that's a weird message that's coming out right now. And fuck you, Glenn Beck. Who are these people? Like he said, like, you know, I'd rather die and for the so that America doesn't die.
Don't even give that guy the time of day, though. That guy's a sensationalist. You know, I mean, I honestly think that he's like a false flag in himself. It's like, oh, if we can concentrate hate on this pundit who's like saying shit, then they won't actually believe that we're doing it.
Yep, I agree. I agree. So, but my thing is that, I definitely think that they tried. Whether Polybius was the game or not, I definitely think that they tried to do tests on people using video games. So here are my two options. One of them is, yeah, they made a fake arcade or, you know, made a real arcade and just
studied. You know what it would have been? It would have been that fucking, like, horrible, horrible game. What was it, Dragon's Quest or something like that? Where you basically had to memorize. Yeah. It was super animated for its time, and you would have to memorize, like, where the floor tiles were gonna fall down, because then you would move left. You had like a fraction of a second to like make these decisions.
Cartoon. It was a real fucking cartoon. It was amazing. But like, yeah, your timing. I've played that game so many times, and I'm like, I think the learning curve is you just memorize it and do it a step early. You don't wait for a cue.
100%, 100%. And so that's my point. Like, so if they're like, okay, we got to like infiltrate, let's do like Ocean's 11 rules. And they're like, okay, the lasers are going to be here and here and here. You have to like go left, and then you have to go forward, and then you have to go right, and then you have to go back. That would be the only, I don't know. I just hate that game.
Like I agree with what you're saying.
Like how far one second into it. Like I die immediately.
Dude, I'm so fucking mad at that game. Yeah, I've gotten like maybe onto the third one, maybe. But
what game is this?
Dragon's Lair. Dragon's Lair for a while.
Oh, is you get like a big flash on the screen and you're dead?
Yeah.
I've never figured out how to play that. Yeah.
That's the thing, though, is we're waiting for cues, but you have to beat the cues. So now
I'm I played that game in like 86 or something when I was old enough to like be playing video games, and then playing a cartoon was impressive at that time.
Yeah.
So it was like 86, anywhere between like 85 and 90, I was playing that going like, I fucking love this because I'm playing a cartoon character, but then it's impossible to win.
So here's my other side of that coin, which I believe is happening. I don't think that you would open up an arcade because there's too much. It's too easy to get caught. So you basically kidnap kids and you do tests on them. How can you kidnap kids? You know, even in the 70s, it's not, you don't just go kidnap kids. You fucking take them from the orphanage. Just like the state owns the kids. You are above the state. You can walk in and just take kids and say, hey, we're the CIA. So,
I would like to think if I'm an orphan, I would be super into that.
You know, you might have too much hate in you, but it might make you go like, yeah, I'll fucking work for the government. Like,
I mean, if it's between like, Little Orphan Annie, Oliver Twist style, like orphanages and going and playing video games for the government, I'll take the government thing every time.
Yeah. It'd just be hard to start having to listen to people after you've been thrown away.
What's something that just like popped in my head here. Now, say they were doing in Portland, right at this time, everything, all the legend starts. So there is the gambling happening in the arcades. You know, there's already illegal activity happening. I think that's, you have kids, maybe at the time Portland, they're seeing like, oh, gaming is big. The kids are good. We got them on the illegal gambling already. We have something against them. What if we just force our way in with the game?
Fuck. That's really smart.
Listen, we got this on you. How about you let us, you know, do some experiments here? I don't know.
Otherwise, we get you on the gambling, so.
Yeah, just shut you down. And I would believe that, like, one arcade is running a gambling ring. All of them are. I mean, that's, I don't know how much money you'd make off an arcade like at that
time. Yeah, but low level gambling, dude, you know, you've made $200 to $300 just playing dice, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like just in normal gameplay, how many quarters are they taking in versus how much you can make in gambling?
Well, yeah, yeah.
You know, one person hears about going, oh, I'm going to start this. And then, now we can we can approach all these arcades around gambling.
Yeah. You're cutting out. You last thing you said was gambling. You'll be back.
So my whole thing with that about like the men in black suits going to arcades, like I don't think that there was actually illegal gambling. I think like I'm trying to think of this time, and so they're trying to get like mafia on like racketeering and shit like that, right? Like running numbers, stuff like that. And so I think they maybe falsely identified arcades as like a way for like people to gamble, but I kind of doubt that ever actually happened.
It's interesting you say that because in the 70s, the original pinball machines were gambling machines.
Yeah.
Well, so that's the thing. So then you get into like, is weed legal? When does it not become legal? And so like, yeah, so pinball is like one of those early like game of chances that like can be considered gambling or whatever, right? Yeah. Until they like sort of ratify like what the actual definition of gambling is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know like where I grew up, small city where they would
What was the city?
Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, that's right. I can never remember that name.
And they would have the video poker machines, you know, just a regular arcade video poker, but they'd pay out. And that was pretty much everywhere. And it was just in like
yeah.
a pizza shop or the bowling alley or something. And like, as a kid, I remember looking like, why do these guys, like, they all play this game all day? Like, they're just playing arcade games all day. And like, oh, they're gambling. Like,
yeah. Dude, the last con we went to, Paranomicon, we were drinking at the bar and they had these machines that looked like little slot machine games, whatever. And I won like $300 just right before dinner. I was like, oh, fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't even know that we were in a town that like allowed that. And Willie just played this game and it was like, oh, you won $300. It was just like, we're in a town where you can just like gamble. Cool.
That was an illegal machine?
No.
It was legal.
It was legal. Okay.
Well, I mean, here's my thing. I don't think that I don't have anything else of this. Do I think Polybius was real? I think that there could have been something along the lines of they were trying out a game, particularly this. I mean, I don't believe this. I think that Stuart Brown was right with the Kurt Kohler coin op thing. It's a good idea. But I do think that the government definitely did testing, video game testing on kids.
What do you think about, so if you believe they did testing, like, you know, with the game, you know, flashing lights and all that gameplay, what about there actually being something inside the cabinet? I've heard mention of TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Ooh, yeah, I believe in that stuff. I mean, we definitely have our own little electromagnetic fields, and you can't even read them on the equipment that we have, but we are affected by things like that. I believe that could be possible too.
Yeah,
you could put that in any machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it is practical. A lot of it is possible. I just don't know how much is practical. Like, I don't know how much you would invest in doing something like that when what you're already doing is working. And we're talking about like fucking 30 years in the past, and maybe they were like throwing more shit at the wall. But I don't know. Testing video game. I don't know. Testing video games on kids. I guess if we live in a world, if we're going to believe that they just like took orphans and like had them play video games, it would be easy to tell like who the psychopath is, who's willing to just like go to war. But I don't know if it gets any deeper than that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. And the thing is, no matter any of the speculation that we have now, no matter what it is, we'll never be able to find out the information. So it's always going to be speculation, if whether it happened or not, you know.
I'll say this. I definitely don't believe that this game, what's it called?
Polybius?
Polymorph? Polybius. I definitely don't believe that this game exists. I think it was a marketing thing. I don't believe in Slender Man, you know, like, yeah. I put them in the same category where it's like creepypasta that doesn't exist. It's like going to the bathroom mirror and saying Bloody Mary 5 times or whatever. Like, that's just like some fun stuff that gets spread around because it's fun to like kind of believe in that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think like when it comes to MK Ultra, like, so MK Ultra is different to me because like you are altering people's minds by giving them drugs.
Well, I mean, but just to throw this at you, the drugs thing was like one idea. It's like anything they could think of was being tested. So like at the university,
that's what I was going to say. Like, yeah. So like, yeah, maybe they did like try like some sort of like visual, like, I don't know the term for it, but like some sort of altering thing where you can like send people messages. You know what it would be? It would be Halloween 3, where they're like playing the fucking get these masks and like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't believe that it's effective. Like, I don't think that you could really control people's brains. I think you could do it like for epileptics or something. You could like be like, you're a slave now, and we're going to show you a bunch of seizure lights unless you do what we want. But I don't believe that there are a series of flashing lights that could make you turn into a Manchurian candidate.
Sure is crazy, man, because I do believe that. But go on. What do you think, Sam? Just the Manchurian candidate stuff. I'm like, yeah, I think that there's a suggestible state that you can erase. I don't know. Go on.
Sorry. I think I lost you guys for a second. The last thing I think I was heard like Wade talking about this, like seizure lights. It's weird. Like say if they were recruiting, using arcade games to recruit for military, whatever. I don't know what's the benefit of, you know, using lights and, you know, flashes, like symbols, patterns, shapes. How does that translate into, you know, reality combat or something? You know, what are you preparing for?
This is to see who you can brainwash to where they don't know they're working for you so that you can go kill other world leaders. But basically, you become an assassin. That's the whole thing, is that you have no idea that you are even being trained.
Okay. So, I think that's what I was saying. Like when you lost us, I was saying I don't believe in it because I don't think that you can mind control someone through those means of like vision, flashing light shit. Fuck, did we lose him again?
Yeah, he may have heard you though. Usually when he freezes, he can hear us.
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Okay, great.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I guess I did lose you for like a second. About what? Sorry.
Do you think that somebody can, through flashing lights or imagery, get into a state that they could be told what to do without them knowing they were doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's, yeah, I think that's possible as a form of almost like hypnosis or something.
Yeah.
You affect, you know, I don't know details, but you know, the certain part of the brain that reacts to that, and you just attack that, and you know, and the only way to figure out how it's going to work is repeated testing.
See, my best defense of that is maybe it's not just the lights, but like we definitely are being affected by a magnetic field, and we have animals that live their life based on this magnetic field. You know, whenever you see whales beaching themselves, people are like, why are they doing this? It's because the magnetic field lines are fucked up and they're just that's how they fly. You know, we follow this magnetic field and it brought us on land. What the fuck? We don't know what to do.
Yeah.
We don't know how else
to drive. I don't disagree with you that can like alter like how we're feeling or something, but I don't think it could ever make you do something that you didn't want to do. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's a specific direction, right? Yeah.
That's too much. Because like how is that going to, I mean, and also why are we giving so much power to like vision? Like if you smelled something, like that wouldn't affect you. If you heard something, it wouldn't affect you, right? So I don't know why, but like it does feel like vision is the most important sort of like, cuz your eyes are next to your brain, right? Or they're like connected to it in a way that like you don't feel like your sense of taste is, even though it all is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I don't know. So that's why I don't buy any of it. I don't believe that you could like taste a certain flavor and then like lose your mind and be controlled in the same way that I don't believe flashing lights would ever make you be under control.
I think I kind of agree with you on that.
Yeah, it sure makes me go like, well, I shouldn't disagree with you.
Yeah, like
I do think that like, you know, our third eye that can see light too, I'm like, maybe there's something in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, regarding that, you know, with brain or manipulation or brainwash, whatever, it seems like all the episodes you hear about are like short-lived, short-term, like, oh, they're a case of amnesia, a case of a migraine, a case of this, but nothing like long-term in terms of, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, we lost you.
Wait, say that again?
Can you hear me?
Long-term what?
That's
Yeah, like the
shit. You froze again trying to explain what you meant by long when you okay, so long term.
Okay, what? Now go.
Okay. So I was just saying long term, I don't think it would last that long to brainwash to carry out a mission or something. Like I do believe like you could have a seizure, have amnesia, get sick. But
that's the whole thing, is that like the long-term thing, if you believe in that, that's where it comes in, why these certain killers have had this weird book on them, that it's like having the book made them go to the passage that made them do the killing. Like it's their step. I don't know. It's a fascinating realm to believe that's possible, because you're like, oh fuck, how come there's a couple killers found with the same book with the same passages underlined? That's what the hell's going on? Whatever.
That's very fun to think about, and all of these topics are fun to think about, but it's very easily written off by saying like schizophrenia, you know.
But it was funny to hear, you know, you hear the stories of the kid playing Asteroids. Willie, like you said, he played for over 24 hours.
Is there 48 hours, 28 hours? Yeah, what the fuck?
All he drank was soda. The kid who had one person actually died while playing.
Okay, you cut out. One kid actually died while playing.
I hope that it's Jax. What's that game called where you pick up Jax?
Yeah,
Jax. You bounce the... Is that what it's called? You bounce the marble, or you bounce the bouncy ball and pick up jacks?
Yeah.
I hope that's what he's about to say.
I'll bet you it's something dumb. Like, I mean, what was a common game after Asteroids?
Q-Bert? Can you imagine playing Q-Bert for 24 hours?
Well, yeah, like picture Centipede, dude. There was a siren in it. Woo, 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 woo. And like, okay, hold on. You got to unmute yourself. He popped out and popped back in.
Yeah, can we start talk about the conspiracy about why my internet keeps going out?
It's because you've said too many key words.
Yeah.
You said brainwash, MKUltra.
Yeah.
The Zoom doesn't like it.
And now you guys are in different positions. I'm all screwed up.
Oh, snap.
The only, I was just saying, the game that I forget the name of the game. Sorry.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Waiting for a big reveal.
Yeah, we were.
They always talk about like asteroids, Tempest giving seizures or something in this.
Tempest, other. Yeah.
I might have been Tempest, but and the little kid dies because of playing video game, and then it's well, he had a history of heart problems already, and you know there's always something to go along with the arcade game.
Yeah, yeah.
I always think that I might have a history of heart problems. I've just never exerted my heart to a point where I would know about it. You know, like I've just been so lazy.
Stay away from these games.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that like that's why I know that I don't have heart problems because my heart, my blood has been boiling so many times in my life. I'm like, oh, I'm good.
That sounds like a heart problem. All right, let's wrap it up. Do you guys have any final thoughts on the? I feel like we sort of just did that, but any other thoughts that you want to get out before we end it?
I'll go first. What we'll probably get into in the bonus episode is like what the hell's going on now. So my final thoughts on this are there will always be people trying to brainwash you. Let's say I work for Tide and I'm trying to get kids to like Tide. I'm going to come up with a commercial, you know, whatever. I'm just saying like all branding, all advertising is a brainwash. It's convincing you that we are something that should be a household name, you know? So like PS4 versus Xbox, you know, there's a brainwash happening there, whatever they can come up with, you know, well, you can play the old games. You know, I'm just saying that like the brainwash is that it's a lie to get you to, you know, get to the point where you blindly follow. Why should anybody, you know, for a while there was a big argument between Xbox and PlayStation, for example, like just brand loyalty. And I'm like, that is just, I know that I'm going off on a stupid tangent, but these little brainwashes.
Well, listen, that's not brainwashing. That's tribalism. That's the Broncos versus the Bears. That's choosing a side and being loyal to it. It has nothing to do with brainwashing. It's like, I made this decision. I remember like when the Super Nintendo came out and the Sega Genesis came out and I chose Super Nintendo that I was very, shit. What's the fucking word?
Not loyal. You're talking,
I was defensive against people telling me that Sega Genesis was the better console because I didn't want to believe that I made the wrong decision. It had nothing to do with like brainwashing. It was just my ego.
I'm using brainwashing lightly in that, you know, if you have a company, you want people to believe you. And stretching the truth to me is on par with brainwashing where it's like, you know, like picture Nintendo. They have fucked up for years, but we still got Mario. You know, we still got Zelda. Like, you're going to like those.
I think a better kind of sort of way to illustrate your point would be like Kleenex. Like, Kleenex is not a product. It's a brand. Like, when you say, I want a Kleenex, you're actually saying, I want the tissue that I blow my nose into.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. And
well, it's not brainwashing. It's just like the zeitgeisty sort of like ubiquitous.
Well, listen, I know that I went too small, but to me, the brainwashing really is what I didn't want to get into this, but like, you know, magazines for women and what they think a beautiful woman should be.
Oh, well, that's a great example of brainwashing.
So in that respect, I go. My closing statements are sure that that's why I was trying to say like the littlest version of like, well, it happens everywhere. But I'm like, the biggest version is, are there secret government entities right now trying to brainwash us or to learn things about us? That's going to be the bonus episode. But my answer is this will never stop because a government citizens should never be the enemy, but that's who they're more afraid of because we don't have, I'm not going to say we don't have real enemies today, but we're not in a war state. So it's like, your own citizens are the ones that can take away your power. It might be for the better of their government, but it's not for the better of you who was in charge. And so the fear, yeah. So what are they doing now? That, you know, I think that they will always.
Well, yeah. So we'll get into all of that. I mean, that's a big chunk of things to say at the end of the episode. We'll get into all of that on the bonus. Sam Polybius, is that what it's called?
I don't know what we decided. Polybius.
Polybius.
Whatever.
Any sort of like closing thoughts?
Yeah, I guess what I've been curious about this whole time, it's kind of goes with what you were saying about it being the like a promo tool, the game pro, you know, to, you know, try to. What'd you say? Spike business or something? You know, it was like a publicity stunt or something.
Yeah, right, get traffic to his website, CoinOp. Yeah.
So yeah, do you think? And that was what, like 2003. It was featured in GamePro. Now, do you think the myth of Polybius was going on at the time in the '80s, and they just brought it up, or was this created, you know, years later in 2003? Are they, you know?
I personally think this one guy created it to drive traffic to his website, and it sort of backfired on him because it took a life of its own that had nothing to do with his website.
Yeah. And you think people went there, but they fucking got lost somewhere else.
And yeah. Do you think the first he mentioned it was in, you know, whatever, 2003?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think that's pretty crazy. I think that would be, you know, pretty awesome if you could do it, you know, 20 some years later. And then, because now, you know, it's everywhere. It's huge. Like you said, it's in The Simpsons. There's so many pop culture references out there.
It's something
this guy created so long after. Like,
totally.
And maybe just was, yeah, referring to when kids used to get sick for drinking too much soda and playing this game too much.
My lame argument against that is, wouldn't if you came up with that, wouldn't you come take the credit for it? Like, come on, you did it. Now tell everyone you came up with it. I think that it's just a missed opportunity, whether that really happened or not. I'm like, dude, you should have taken your credit.
That's a bigger discussion about hubris. Like, if I write a joke in a TV show and people enjoy the TV show, do I come forward and like tell them that I wrote the joke? Because like, doesn't that make me look like an asshole?
Yeah, but that's because you look like an asshole because you're a part of a group that, sure, the joke might have been the best joke of the night, but there was a group of people that worked on it. As opposed to, I made up something that everybody believes.
I guess at the end of the day, it would be like, what would he gain out of doing that? And like, maybe he's behind the scenes right now going like, maybe he gets a piece of these Polybius games that have since come out, because there have been like two games called Polybius that have come out, and maybe he owns the rights and he gets that, and the urban legend only like fuels sales for those.
I love that version because it took him like a decade of like waiting for it to really get traction to start making money. I love that as well.
And like all the research to do, like, we're going to call it Polybius, which, you know, we're going to go back to when Polybius was around and it means this. There's a cipher connected. Also, it's made by Cineslosion, which means sense delete. Okay, we're going to add that to the story. You know, he's going through all these things to build it.
I think the end of most of these stories is that we're giving this guy too much credit. He really just wanted his website to like take off, and maybe it did for like a day, and now he's who knows, maybe he founded fucking pets.com or some shit.
He lost the website 1 year and never got it back.
I mean, I tried to look it up. It doesn't exist anymore, so it definitely didn't work.
No, what? There's also this other article that was written in 2006, so a few years after GamePro feature, and maybe it was slowing down a little bit. Like, it didn't you know, the train started to slow down. He's like, I better kick it up a notch here, get it going again. Because there's this article, it says it's by Stephen Roach. He was one of the developers of the game. He worked on it over, I forget where, Germany, I think, is where it was developed. It was contracted by the government. And he was a younger kid. And then he started hearing the reports of, you know, kids being affected negatively by the game. He got out. It's this long article of a guy claiming he developed the game. And
I saw that too. And that's where a lot of like these people who have tried to rebuild the game from scratch, just based on like what's been said on the internet, comes from like that guy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so funny if he's behind it too, and he's just keeping it going with all these
I mean, we are in a troll culture. Like, maybe he was just the original troll.
Yeah.
And he won't let it go. And he's just,
and he comes from a time when you were a troll and you didn't need credit, because the troll is the payoff.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole, yeah.
Polybius isn't a game. It's like, we are Polybius. Where are my followers? Who's going to keep it going?
Right. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Willie, do you have any plugs?
Willie Bad Movies on TikTok.
Oh, you've moved to TikTok.
I will.
Oh, okay. Sam, you have anything that you want to market right now?
Just you can check out my playlist that I've created on LimeWire. I'm sharing them right now.
What?
No. Wade mentioned LimeWire earlier. I was like, whoa, forgot about LimeWire.
Yeah.
I was hooked on that. No, got nothing going on. I'm not, nothing.
What about Last Chance? You want to do your YouTube?
Oh, yeah, you can be on the lookout. This will be a little something to look forward to. It doesn't even exist yet, but it will be called. You can just search Tasty Tidbits with Morsels. It'll be out soon. So just keep checking like every few days, you know, make it a part of your routine.
Yeah, go to Reddit, go to Twitter, and then go to Tasty Tidbits with Morsels.
That'll be YouTube.
I will plug the same thing I've been plugging. Go follow the Fallout Boy Twitter. We're gonna make an announcement on there, I think, in the next week. Like, by the time this is out, it might already be out, but I don't know how much I'm allowed to say, so do that. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/real life sci-fi.
Thank you.